Welcome to Fireside, your source for discussions on not only the latest and greatest from PsyCor, but also helpful tips and tricks. I'm your host and PsyCor MVP, Josh Hover. Welcome to today's podcast. We are going to be talking a little bit more about Vercel and how Vercel can accelerate your PsyCor solution. But first, I'd like to give a quick introduction to our guest today. Joining us, we have Glenn Sayer from Strategic Alliance Manager at Vercel. Welcome to today's show, Glenn.
All right. Thanks, Josh. Very nice to be here.
And we also have joining us Alex. Also joining us today is Alex Hawley, Partner Solution Engineer at Vercel as well.
Thanks, Josh. Excited to be here talking about the web.
Great. And also joining us is Luke Pace, who's a Lead DevOps Engineer at Proficient.
Thanks, Josh. Good to be back.
We're going to dive a little bit more in Vercel and how it's been tackling the PsyCor world. There's been a lot of traction and popularity now that we're seeing the shift to composable, especially around the announcement of the partnership between Vercel and PsyCor at this year's 2022 symposium. And really with that popularity and the shift into the headless world, I thought it would be a really great idea to talk to Vercel team and talk a little bit more about what Vercel is.
Vercel is really a platform for building, deploying, and scaling your web applications. One way that we think about Vercel is that it's the front-end cloud. It provides everything you need to collaborate and iterate over your front-end applications, and we also make it very easy to deploy them out to our global edge network. Aside from kind of the platform aspect of Vercel under its umbrella, we also build and maintain some of the most popular front-end or open source frameworks on the web. So most notably that I'm sure many of you have probably heard of is Next.js, which is the most popular React framework in the world. We maintain that along with SvelteKit. We have other teams focused on other tooling like SWC, SWR, Turbo Repo. Generally, the team is a huge advocate for open source, and we provide all the other tools needed to have a really performant website.
So Vercel is becoming and gaining traction within the PsyCor space, but Vercel has been around for some time now, especially given the product background with Next.js.
Right. Yeah, I think it's coming up a lot more prominently with PsyCor at the moment. PsyCor is moving into the composable space, the headless space, and Vercel really fits the need of having a great composable front-end application platform. So we work great with PsyCor. We work great with tons of other services that are able to integrate on similar architectures.
So you mentioned that PsyCor is definitely gaining this traction in the composable world as they're making their shift, especially with all of their new product offerings like XM Cloud. Everything as far as that's being released that is new is a composable product. And let's talk a little bit more about why we're seeing a large shift into headless and really what some of the benefits behind that are.
Sure. Yeah, I think, thinking about headless, thinking about composable, it's kind of important, I feel like, to talk about like what that really means. So like composability, headless, it's the approach of building a web application by combining a bunch of different components or services. Hopefully these services and components are like best in class. And I think we're seeing the movement this way for a few really important reasons. When we take a step back and think about the more legacy approach of the past, like a monolithic architecture, where you have perhaps a back-end services coupled with front-end services, you really have something that's like a jack of all trades, but a master of nothing. And as I think we're seeing in the industry, there's a really large appetite for teams and businesses to have the best in class services available to them. And in reality, that boils down to you have to go to companies that specialize. So for instance, instead of having a product that tries to deliver like, you know, the CMS, a search provider, email marketing, all in one, you're going to go reach out to the individual products and companies that really focus on this. And I think we're seeing PsyCor move that way too. I mean, they're moving their entire product offering to a composable stack so it can specialize and do everything really well. So that jack of all trades, you know, moving away from that to highly specialized services, I think is a portion of it. The other way that I see people moving over, that's a huge benefit in Composable, is that you're able to scale your systems much safer and easier. You don't have to, for instance, if you have a front-end website that's getting hit with a surge of users and like a Black Friday, or you're posting a blog post that gains a ton of traction on social media, you don't necessarily need to scale anymore both the back-end and the front-end. Obviously, there are cases where you have to scale both, but there are also cases when you only have to scale one or the other, and then with a headless approach, it makes it much easier. Kind of like coupled with this, but through a different lens, I'll mention that like I use the term like learning debt sometimes when talking about composability. Learning debt kind of refers to like when you have engineers or people on your system, what do they have to learn to do anything? And when you have a really large monolithic architecture, they kind of have to know everything. So it's tough to hire, tough to onboard, tough to maintain that learning as everything develops. And when you're composable, you can just have people specialize and focus on one aspect and get really great at that. They don't need to know everything else.
I think you brought up two really good points, Alex, and the first one being the best in class. So I think it's important to call out that, you know, you are able to pick and choose what you want for your composable stack. But I think it's also important to note that you're able to continue using a technology that maybe potentially you have and have already been using, and you don't have to completely look at how you do that migration into a single platform. Ideally, of course, it's great to have everything in a single you know ecosystem, but at the same time, being able to leverage those components individually is extremely helpful. The other point that you had brought up was around scalability, and is that a feature that Vercel is offering, being able to scale up your instance? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So like, for instance, say you have a web application deployed to Vercel using Next.js, and you have a page that perhaps you a page that your users go to view a particular blog post. A lot of the underlying architecture on Vercel for hosting that relies on serverless functions. And when users go to that site and there's a surge of visitors, we can scale up those functions to meet the need of the user. So it's great for scaling up. But another kind of nuanced advantage is that if there's no one viewing a page, we scale those services down. So you don't have to worry about having an idle node application running in the cloud incurring costs that is not even being used. We account for both use cases.
The world in general continues to move more and more in online presence. So not just the site platform, but the customers that use the Sitecore platform, their online presence just continues to become more of a focus for the business, especially after all of the events for the last several years. And so they need to reach their customers, and their customer base is growing. It's becoming even more and more global. So being able to leverage something like Vercel that is natively a globally distributed network, and then design your site to take advantage of like static site generation, so you can see some performance improvements there, because, you know, again, as there becomes more competition in the online space, then things like performance and availability become distinguishing factors between you separating yourself from your market competition. So those kind of built-in features of using a globally distributed SaaS product like that allow you to, you know, kind of make these big advances in improving your business, your time to market is much faster, and getting to where what used to take a significant amount of work to get to a similar place.
I like the point that you brought up, Luke, about the globalization and how there is a huge shift into a global economy, especially having that global distribution helps with the speed. Definitely a really great point.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we're talking a lot about Vercel today, but I've been working with a project where we're leveraging Sitecore Experience Edge as well, and that seems like a natural fit with a Vercel implementation, because now your content is also globally distributed as well.
Yeah, I think I like that we're seeing in the industry kind of different services embracing kind of like global availability by default, performance by default. Sitecore is certainly making, you know, that effort making that implementation effort to do that. And same for Vercel, trying to make it trivial to spin up an application and, you know, take all the headache in planning and implementation work out of how do we actually make this regionally available and making sense for users across the globe and just make it part of the initial configuration and deployment.
I think we've already called out a good number of benefits to using Vercel, but let's talk a little bit more specific around the Sitecore implementation aspect and maybe some of the additional features where Vercel is going to shine.
And I'd like to kind of lead from the conversation we just had and probably show my age here a little bit as well. But, you know, when we talk about headless, I think headless was here a long time ago, right? And what I mean by that, if you look at a lot of the vendors in the DXP market, I worked for one prior to working here at Vercel. You know, the developers really kind of led the way. If they want something more open, they want more availability, they want to build their own front end as opposed to doing it within the monolith, right? So even as, you know, a lot of these DXPs are still monolith or are moving away from monolith, they had these headless services before. Look at JSS, right? JSS was here before, you know, XmCloud, the whole composability, you know, model that, that Sitecore is going after. So it's interesting to see that. So I take them as not Sitecore not even only being kind of the lead in the DXP space for going composable. They were there for going headless in the beginning as well. And even talking with you guys at Perficient, I know there's a model with existing customers. Instead of making that huge jump into complete headless and composable, you can jump headless first, right? And then go more into the composable route. That's the route I know you guys, I think, are looking to take on a lot of your customers. So it's like a perfect fit, you know, for developers as well as, you know, Vercel to fit into that model. So I just kind of wanted to say that as far as the last thing, but yeah, we've, you know, you talked about the partnership a little bit in the beginning. We've been partnered for a little over 2 years now and actually just announced the partnership after the symposium this past year. And that's due to XmCloud coming out and the whole composable model. And what we've done is we've actually worked with Sitecore very close, you know, across not just sales and marketing, right? We're actually pretty ingrained and tied with them at the product level as well. So speaking of JSS services, you know, I think some of the benefits that customers are going to see is now we're tightly ingrained with that JSS team. You know, we're meeting with them what used to be monthly, almost weekly, daily, you know, helping to get the latest and greatest Next.js, you know, functionality into the package, right? So it's that relationship, that strategic relationship, I should say, that we've have, you know, between product, between engineering, where right now, you know, the benefit you're going to see with using Sitecore and Vercel is not only from the Next.js perspective, there's within the XmCloud product, within the admin console, we make it very easy, you know, for you to deploy your front end to Vercel via one click. So that's just kind of, you know, the top of the funnel that we're hitting. We're working with their team to add, you know, much more functionality around that. We haven't even touched, you know, on like CDP, search, you know, other capabilities, even experience edge, right? So, and Luke, to your point with experience edge, I think that's where you really see kind of the perfect fit between Vercel and Sitecore. Vercel is bringing your front end to the edge. Sitecore is bringing your content to the edge. Everything's fast, right? Your content's being served up fast, your pages are being served up fast, you know, so ultimately it's the customer that wins on this, right? So you see a better customer experience, you see better Google Lite scores, SEO. You know, Alex is going to end up doing a presentation at the DX Summit coming up here, you know, on SEO and Sitecore and Vercel, and it's pretty interesting, some of the numbers and case studies and stuff we came up from that. So
I'm excited to see that. I think performance is something that a lot of the clients that I engage with right now are extremely interested. They want to see faster load times and being able to, you know, look at products that can help them achieve that and solutions that'll help bring those load times down from what potentially were, you know, high load times and sometimes the older monolithic instances.
Not to give away too much of a preview on the DX Summit talk, but it's relating specifically around performance and SEO in the context of like also using Vercel and Next.js with Sitecore. And what we really what we know is that a key driver for SEO is Core Web Vitals. So performance is really important. The other side of that coin that I'll mention is it's also developer agility. I mean, if you go through Google's Google's search blogs on either best standards that they're publishing or enhancements and changes that they make to their search algorithm, which is not like an open book that's open source. Changes are coming out all the time. So you have to have a team that's agile, able to make changes on the front end to take advantage of these best practices if you really want to be on the cutting edge of efficient SEO. So it's kind of twofold. It's that performance aspect as well as developer agility, which I think we really enhance Sitecore with.
Sounded like even from what Glenn was describing that your team is taking that very agile approach in your delivery, even being in tune by almost a daily or weekly basis with the JSS team, just keeping those updates coming and making them more frequent. How does Vercel handle a platform update if I have a particular version of Next.js? How do I handle that upgrade and what does that path look like?
Yeah, so there's a couple ways to think about it. I mean, when we meet with the Sitecore JSS team, they have their own framework that depends on Next.js. So for instance, the JSS version released right now is version 12. So we remain in kind of like lockstep with them as they do development and work on upgrading to the next version. For instance, we worked with them, I believe it was last week, about getting to version 13 and starting taking advantage of the most recent features on Next.js 13. So it's a continuous process. I mean, we collaborate with them asynchronously and synchronously. The Next.js team pushes out features on their own roadmap, and it's important for our partner team and our solutions engineers to stay on that same cadence with Sitecore to ensure that we're communicating all the necessary requirements that they need to implement on their side.
That was one of the things that I really liked hearing from the Sitecore product team was really around their release iteration, and they were talking about how in their prior XP releases, they would have to essentially listen to consumer feedback for a 6-month duration. Then it would take another 6 months to even a year to get that release out there. And now that they're moving to XM Cloud, they're talking about how they're having continuous iterations and making sure that the platform stays up to date. It sounds like you guys are already taking that approach to your platform.
Yeah, I think we have really good alignment with the Sitecore team on that. They seem there's a high appetite for a lot of quick iteration cycles and velocity.
I think a good topic to touch on, clients are asked of, well, how do I get there? Like, how do I go from my MVC build or my older version? How do I get there? Like, what's the path? I know there's been some documentation out there, but I think it's always good to reiterate that. So the question is, for clients that are on older implementations of Sitecore, you know, running MVC applications, how do they make that transition to composable and headless and maybe even eventually XM Cloud? This process can be incremental. You don't have to go straight from MVC all the way to headless. You can do it iteratively. And what that can do is you can start building out a headless application, so a Next.js application, for example, and relegate certain sections of your website to take advantage of that. So then you can, on the networking side, do some kind of path routing to kind of leverage two different applications and make that transition more gradual instead of, you know, all at one time, because that can, depending on how ingrained you are into the MVC implementation, doing a full rebuild could take some time. And that sets you up to then slowly transition more things over and to fully take advantage of all the benefits we talked about of a headless implementation hosted on Vercel. And going through that process and potentially going through a Sitecore upgrade as well, getting into 10.3 really sets you up to make that transition into XM Cloud, if that's something that's going to fit for you. So I think that's a natural progression. So if anyone's looking at doing it, it's not something that you have to go from 0 to 100. There are stepping stones you can take along the way to make that process easier.
Yeah, and to elaborate on some of the Vercel portions of that. I mean, Vercel provides a pretty, if you look at our entire product offering, you could see it as kind of like, you know, this is a one-stop shop to do everything. And while we certainly want everyone to use everything that we have, the reality is we know that's not the reality for many of our enterprise customers in particular. And that's fine. A lot of our features can be used and adopted incrementally as you go. So for instance, Sitecore solutions can be very complex with very complex infrastructure, particularly for production. And maybe a Sitecore customer just isn't ready to make the cut over to hosting their production website on Vercel. That's fine. Vercel has plenty of other tools that they can use to supplement their development workflow and improve productivity and general velocity. For instance, we have preview deployments and preview comments functionality, where if you're just doing internal dev cycles and sprints and you want developers collaborating easier or getting stakeholder feedback from non-technical colleagues, preview deployments and preview comments is a great feature to flip the switch on, so to speak, where you can start surfacing some of that quick iteration cycles to get feedback. And then over time, hopefully, as the application gets more and more built, the appetite for incorporating more of the production grade and production feature sets becomes easy to do.
I think that the approach is a really great and thoughtful one, because you see clients that have already made such a huge investment in their existing Sitecore instance, and they hear all of the new products that Sitecore is coming out. And I think that it can become overwhelming in thinking about, hey, I made a really large investment in my existing application, and now I need to make it again. And seeing that they can make these iterative approaches and making that step so that it's not a leap, I think helps soften that. And it's exactly the helpful steps that clients are wanting to hear. All right, we've covered off on a lot of the features that I think that Vercel covers off on, but maybe we can talk a little bit more about what is out of the box and what Vercel includes.
If you take a look at Vercel, and as with any SaaS service, we offer subscription services on an annual basis, monthly and annual basis, I should say. So, and if you take a look at the three offerings that we have, it's a hobby, it's pro, and it's an enterprise. And of course, hobby is going to be, as an open source enthusiast company, right? Our frameworks are open source. Everything we do is open and out there. Hobby is going to be the free edition that you get to play around with Vercel. So, there are certain restrictions of that on the use of hobby accounts and what you can do as far as from a security perspective, certain things like that. And of course, I wouldn't say zero support. It's going to be more kind of community support, as you're used to with any kind of open source community software. And then we have our pro accounts. So this is going to be more for probably, your small business to potentially mid-market. Really still just kind of looking at trying things out. This is a monthly fee, subscription fee, right? It is capped at a certain amount of bandwidth, and then you're going to incur overages and certain things like that. That's detailed out on our pricing page. Or if you talk to one of us here at Vercel, we can explain that to you. But the other thing too, I think on this one to keep in mind is that it's not what we would call enterprise ready. That's why we created the enterprise package. And when I say that, it's there's certain SLAs, that are not there, of course. Support is all going to be via email. And, there's no SLA on when we'll get back to you. We do try to get back as soon as we can, on any customer. But for enterprise customer, there's more guarantees around like 24/7 support, certain SLAs around like the 99.99. nine uptime, and as well as the expandability, during high traffic times. And the way we look at any, the deployment to Vercel, there's bandwidth, there's the amount of developers you're going to have, and serverless execution. And of course, these are all deployed, across our to the edge, across our global network. There's certain things with enterprise as well, allowing you to say deploy to certain regions, right? Or to deploy to multiple regions. I think under a pro account, you're only allowed to deploy to one region. So that's going to give you that, from an enterprise perspective, scalability and availability perspective that you're not going to get with other plans. Now, I kind of say that to say we're working with Sitecore right now really under enterprise subscriptions, right? So the partnership that we have, they have the ability to resell this, and they package this a lot, especially with their XM Cloud product. But that's going to ensure, that you not only get the support from Sitecore, but you get the support from Vercel as well, if anything happens. And I think on top of that, if you look at that enterprise offering and the four to five different packages that we offer with Sitecore, you're going to get that first of all, kind of the one throat to choke mentality, right? So you've got one person you go to, which is Sitecore. You know, they can, of course, reach out to us with our relationship for kind of second level support. But then you can also reach directly out to us, you know, and get that first, you know, party support from us as well. We have dedicated CSMs, dedicated engineering resources, you know, per customer and everything. So I heard it today on a call with our CEO, you know, he said if it's if something's happening on our network and it's less than 100 milliseconds, then it's a problem and it's an error. So we're emphatic about, you know, things being quick, being fast. We're looking at our CSMs are aggressively, I would say, looking at customers' analytics and Google Lite scores, reaching out to them to help them. You know, I've seen this in action myself. So you get that from us as well as, you know, the support and what you get from Sitecore as well. So, and I think lastly, then it's going to be access to some of the enterprise features, right? Including you'll have access to some of the features that we're creating with Sitecore, like that one-click deploy, you know, is available in enterprise. And then I don't want to give anything more away, but I can tell you very soon to come, there's going to be many more enterprise features. So keep your eye out on the Vercel website. You'll see those coming, but those are going to be some pretty slick features, especially if, you know, around content management systems and what we're going to be able to offer there that are available to those enterprise users.
We'll have to stay tuned and check out the Vercel site and wait to see what these features are. I appreciate the teaser.
And what about the security features? I know I've had some experience working with both pro and enterprise accounts, and I know enterprise comes with some additional security measures out of the box as well. Could you elaborate on any of those?
Yeah, absolutely. So every one of our enterprise customers, of course, is going to get access to our security portal, right? And they'll have access to our security reports, whether it's SOC 2 and you know, ISO reports and certain things that we do there. But also they'll have, you know, they'll have a region where they can do like dedicated builds and dedicated deployments. And then we just recently, actually, from a security perspective, and I'm glad you brought this up, Luke. Just yesterday we launched Vercel Secure Connect. So it's actually an option for a very private, we basically give you a set of IPs. So it's a private backend to your backend networks, right? So again, this is an additional cost enterprise feature, but highly secure for those companies that still aren't, you know, wanting to give access directly to an open cloud to their backend. So we're super excited about that. We've already seen a lot of enterprise customers say, when's that going to be available? We want to get that. So from a security perspective, not only is it everything that I talked about with the security reports and our focus on security on the back end, you know, we're starting to add these new features as well to make it a bigger, better, faster, but also more secure, you know, front end for your back end.
Yeah. Through a technical lens on the Vercel, secure compute side, perhaps a more tangible example of this is like in the past, a lot of your applications on Vercel would be leveraging serverless functions, and it was difficult to limit who exactly could communicate with those serverless functions, you know, in terms of like whitelisting IP addresses. So with us releasing Vercel Secure Compute, we're giving enterprise customers a much easier way to ensure that private connections are being used in communicating with serverless functions, which we know has been a historically long ask of the enterprise community.
I was having an issue on a project recently, like with trying to use like preview protection and then, but also having the experience editor still work. That's good. That's great news, Glenn, about the dedicated list of IPs. Would that allow, essentially, does that help solve that problem? Because like what we were having an issue with was twofold. One, so with the payload limit coming from Experience Editor to Vercel on a handful of pages, but then when we were playing around with enabling like the preview deployment protection, the content management didn't have a way to like authenticate, so it was being rejected. So we actually transitioned and hosted the the rendering host in an Azure container to get around that, but. If that kind of has come up with any other partners and maybe what the suggestions are for kind of building it in a secure way, specifically around the use of Experience Editor.
Yeah, so this is a good question. So in terms of deployment protection, like you said, like you can lock down preview deployments to authentication. There is a bypass that's available that that's available in Vercel, where if you have an API or anything communicating directly to a URL, you can provide in a header, basically a bypass token so that it can go through. This use case, though, doesn't appear to be working for the Sitecore team. I know, like, Glenn, you and I think we had a call with Sitecore basically about this issue specifically, because they were not seeing that work even though they were using it. So, and I do not recall where we currently are on troubleshooting
that. Yeah, so actually we're in pretty good hands there, because we were working with the JSS lead, Adam Mayer, we figured out what the issue was and potentially how to work around and fix that, but there was going to need to be some changes on their end as well. And we just heard back the other day from Adam that they know what they need to fix on their end to make that work, and they believe they're trying to push that in sooner than later. So,
but that's good. That's good to hear. I figured there was some work being done there.
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, we'll get some more details on that. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I love hearing about the security aspects and the additional measures that Vercel is taking, because some of the projects in the past. I definitely would see where clients would want to take advantage of that, and seeing that that's a feature in the pipeline will definitely be very beneficial.
Alex and I have talked about this before, Azure DevOps integrations. So with Sitecore being .NET and having pretty close ties with Microsoft, a lot of customers also use Azure DevOps as well. I know Vercel has some built-in integrations with some other source control platforms as well, and I believe I've heard that there's one integration with Azure DevOps in the works. I don't know if Alex or Glenn have any updates that they'd like to share on that.
Yeah, I mean, so at the moment, Vercel supports the GitHub, GitLab, and Bitbucket integrations natively with like zero config, particularly in no small part due to our Sitecore partnership and our customers. We know that Azure DevOps is coming up routinely as something that's being asked for. So I can't go into too much more details and guarantee what's going to be done in the future, but it's certainly being prioritized by the team. We know it's a very important feature for many of our Sitecore Enterprise clients. I will note that, just kind of from my own experience and talking to many of our implementation partners, Sitecore solutions tend to be custom on the CI/CD side anyway. And because Vercel does offer a Vercel CLI, there's I think in many cases a good solution for them already, where you can incorporate Vercel into your existing CI/CD workflow inside of Azure DevOps. But we know there's a gap there where, okay, sometimes we don't need that customization. We really just want that native integration. So we're going to work on bridging that gap, because we know it's really important.
Yeah, the CLI is great. It's really powerful. Like you said, I think that's probably a better fit for enterprises that are maybe having more complex workflows, but Sitecore is also targeting that mid-market as well, and helping with that time to market and setting things up fast. I think that integration would definitely still benefit the community.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we covered off on a lot of really great topics around Vercel, and I think we'll keep our eyes open, as Glenn indicated, to the Vercel site for additional features as they continue to be elaborated on. But really want to thank the Vercel team for joining us today, both Glenn and Alex, and also Luke. Thank you all for joining today's show.
Sure. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thanks, Luke. Thanks, Josh.
I'm your host, Josh Hover. Thanks for joining today's podcast. Stay tuned for our future sessions.